To some extent, we don't know what Amazon's sort of optimizing for. I think the one thing people have to be concerned about is displacement, because even for the biggest cities, 50,000 jobs direct plus 50,000 to support in terms of restaurants and what have you is going to cause displacement. And so the question is, who's likely to be displaced? And so this is actually one area where I think Boston maybe shouldn't want Amazon, because Boston's sort of bread and butter is higher ed, grad students, things like that. And if Amazon were to come in and blow out a whole bunch of college students, that could kind of kill the golden goose in Boston.
When we read the obituary for Toys R Us, do we read that Amazon killed Toys R Us, or do we read that a buyout back in 2005 killed Toys R Us because they drowned in their own debt and couldn't invest in the company?
Well, I think you read a little bit of both. Toys R Us really actually has a great opportunity to be sort of the best buy of their sector, because you do have sort of survivors in these sort of single verticals. The problem is they never really developed that infrastructure. But certainly the debt was an issue. Part of the reason they don't have that infrastructure is because all the debt servicing costs prohibited them from investing in the CapEx they needed to really build this business for the future. So that's part of what this reorg's about.
The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able, but hopefully this will not be necessary. That's what the United Nations is all about.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's September 20th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another business day, another edition of The Opening Bell. We have lots to cover this morning in the program. A little bit later on, we'll tell you a little bit give you some advice about how you can convert those online visitors, those clicks to your website, into customers. We'll have an expert on this and the author of a new book called E-Commerce Website Optimization. That's later in the program. In a minute, we'll bring in our first guest talking about aviation jobs. We've got a line on some good jobs out in the Rockford area and here in Illinois. We'll do that right after we check the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Looks like we could have a flat open on Wall Street. Dow futures are up just 2 points this morning. NASDAQ futures have now turned negative. S&P futures are up just a little bit as well. Around the globe this morning, markets are generally positive in Asia, with the Nikkei up about a tenth of a percent. In China, the markets are a little bit higher by a quarter. The Hang Seng is up about 76 points this morning. In Europe, markets are lower generally, with the London Exchange off about 0.2%. The same story in Germany with the DAX, and in France, the only of the European markets that are higher this morning, up just 6 points. The concern is what the Federal Reserve may announce later today. It's the second day of a two-day meeting of the Federal Reserve. We expect a news conference later this morning by Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve Chair, likely to talk more about the unwinding of the balance sheet on the Federal Reserve. She might also talk about her future as chairman of the Federal Reserve. She hasn't yet indicated whether or not she wants to serve for another term. We could hear that today. Crude oil prices, as we finish here on the markets, up just about 1% this morning at $50.07 a barrel. A couple of stories we're watching for you. A lobbying group for small businesses in Britain warning that rising prices and a stuttering domestic economy are driving confidence down and prompting an increase in the number of entrepreneurs considering selling their firms. This in results of the Brexit decision there. Equifax this morning says that 100,000 Canadian consumers have had their personal information compromised, along with 143 million Americans, in that massive cyber attack on the credit data company that was revealed earlier this month. And Ford Motor Company is cutting 5 North American assembly plants jobs for at least a month or so, actually in some places through the rest of the year, as U.S. demand for new vehicles slips due to lower gas prices. Ford plans a 3-week shutdown at the Mexico plant where they make the Fiesta, a 2-week shutdown at another plant there in Mexico, which makes the Fusion and Lincoln MKZ sedans. lots of jobs out there. It's a very tight job market, so when we get a line on some good jobs, we like to bring those to you right away. We're happy to have with us Greg Dellinger this morning. He's the Director of Talent Acquisition and Strategy at AAR Corp. He's here with us this morning. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for having me on WGN. Excited and delighted to talk about aviation as it absolutely thrives here in our beloved state of Illinois, and really across the Middle West.
You know what you're talking about here. You're in aviation yourself, and by the way, we should warn our listeners, as the conversation goes on, you may throw in some of that lingo that a pilot uses, right?
Absolutely. Let your career take flight in aviation. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah, I love when I spoke with you last night via text. I love how you sign off by telling everybody blue skies. It's great.
Hashtag blue skies.
So tell us what's going on out at Rockford and with AAR Corp. You're hiring lots of people.
Absolutely. So AAR is an independent aftermarket expert. So we have approximately 5,000 team members across the globe in probably 60 different locations. We are on the New York Stock Exchange. Ticker symbol is AIR, and we're completely independent as a third-party expert in the aftermarket specific to aviation. There's a couple of different businesses that we have. We deal in parts and components to the aftermarket around big fleets like 737s. We really know that airframe. And then we have a maintenance, repair, and overhaul business. So basically, every commercial aircraft is on a maintenance schedule, and the majority of the world's airlines, Steve, outsource these big planned heavy maintenance visits, where basically you take the entire aircraft, put it in a bazillion pieces, and then put it all back together. And then outside that, we also fly aircraft, both fixed-wing airplanes and rotor-wing helicopters in tough locations like Afghanistan. Right now, we are helping FEMA down in Puerto Rico with the work down there. And then outside of that, we also manufacture cargo pallets for the C-130 and shelters and containers as well to help mobilize the mission. So specific to Rockford, what an exciting project this has been for AAR. So we worked with the city of Rockford and all of the electeds up there, including Senator Durbin, to piece together a 240,000 square foot heavy maintenance hangar. So this is an enormous facility at the Chicago Rockford International Airport. And what we're doing up there is we are spooling up a workforce of certificated aircraft mechanics. Right now, we have around 125 individuals up there turning wrenches, doing work on, I think there are three aircraft in the hangar right now. And we are looking to double that in the next 60 to 90 days.
Double that. That's a huge number of people to hire.
Good jobs with a solid company, good benefits. And, of course, Rockford at the top of our great state of Illinois. You know, it's sort of been up and down for them overall with the economy. Yet with some tremendous focus specific around the airport, they're really seeing this as almost an industry beacon. You know, when you look at aviation across the state, you have at the top of the state the Chicago Rockford International Airport, which is connected to Rock Valley College, which has the aircraft mechanic school right there where young people and all people can learn how to become an aircraft mechanic. Here in Chicago, you've got Midway, you've got O'Hare, you've got the world's largest airframer in Boeing, the third largest airline in the world with United, our hometown airline. You've got Lewis University, where they're teaching folks how to fly and how to make repairs on aircraft, and just resonates all the way to the bottom of the state, where you've got Scott Air Force Base and SIU, home of the Flying Salukis.
It's a big state for aviation. Greg, hang on with us. We're going to take a break here, but we'll be back with Greg Dellinger, Director of Talent Acquisition Strategy at AAR Corp. We're going to be talking more about this footprint out at Rockford and aviation careers in general.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, the major stock indexes pushed higher into record territory on Tuesday. The Dow Jones closed up nearly 40 points to 22,370. The S&P 500 was 2.75 points higher. The NASDAQ composite rose 6.5 to 6,461. Equifax says it had a security breach earlier this year, separate from the later one that exposed the information of 143 million Americans. Massachusetts, meanwhile, has become the first state to sue Equifax for the breach. Walmart says it won't do large-scale holiday hiring at its stores this year. Instead, it will offer extra hours to its current workers, but the nation's largest private employer will be taking on more temporary workers at its distribution centers. Shut down the drive-thru and open up the bar. Food and Wine magazine reports that Taco Bell will soon open 300 new cantina-style locations where beer, wine, and sangria will be offered, but where drive-thru service won't be available. The magazine snarks that a crunchy gordita and a tequila slurpee make a great pairing. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Greg Dellinger. He's with AAR Corporation, the Director of Talent Acquisition Strategy. Very excited to have Greg here this morning. Greg, very excited to be here as well.
I am. I'm amped up. This is great. People are like just getting up and like, ah!
We love the energy, and so that, you know, that's going to be my next question with what's going on out of your facility in Rockford. It seems like this is going to be a long-term investment by your company there.
Absolutely. So that brand new hangar up there, and we are actively hiring, so if you're an aircraft mechanic or you're transitioning out of the military or you just want some guidance how to become an aircraft mechanic, just pop a signal flare at AAR. You can just call headquarters or I'm sure you'll provide contact information on the back end. Yet this brand new facility at the Chicago Rockford International Airport, Steve, it's going to sit as an asset that's viable for the next 40 to 50 years or so. It was designed for next generation aircraft. The 787 Dreamliner, you teed up with Dennis and Team Boeing, and they're really cranking things up. So they got the Dreamliner coming in, and it's the only hangar not owned by an airline that can handle the brand new Airbus 380, that double decker monstrosity one with four big motors on there. So that tail probably sits 90 to 100 feet in the air, and the wingspan, I don't even know, but it is massive. So it was designed for next generation aircraft, primarily wide body, since the Chicago Rockford International Airport is such a cargo base. That's the type of airframes that we're seeing up there is wide body. And then we've got some narrow body work going on there. We're getting turns by the airlines. And then we have some runoff coming from our Oklahoma City repair station. So we have strong past performance of growing maintenance, repair, and overhaul hangars. So we have five locations across the United States of America. And just yesterday, the company went out and bought two more repair stations, or a repair station group called Premier Aviation in Canada, where we'll be working with Air Canada on their E-jets as well as their 320s, which is the derivative of the 737, a narrow-body aircraft. So we're going to be doing some work in a more robust way for Air Canada. But absolutely fantastic facility there in Rockford.
We talked about the part of this that kind of caught my ear there was if you're not an aircraft mechanic, the part about retraining yourself to become one, how would one do that? Because I would have guessed that people are listening now and thinking, these sound like pretty good jobs. How can I, if I'm not in this, retrain myself?
Absolutely. David Storch, our chairman and CEO, along with John Holmes, our brand new president and chief operating officer. I mean, these folks are the real deal, and they're all about helping with the true return flight of jobs that are truly made in the United States of America. I mean, there's some spirit and hope in aviation, a true optimism and a grit. And so specifically to becoming an aircraft mechanic, that's the secret sauce. Mm-hmm. So don't tell anybody that we have an airframe and power plant school in Rockford called Rock Valley College. We have 48 community colleges across the state of Illinois. And RVC, Rock Valley College, Go Eagles, is they doubled down, Steve, on a brand new aircraft mechanics school up there. It's a $5 million facility, and it's what we call 18 steps. It's 18 steps away from the brand new hangar. So you go up there, you learn, takes 22 months, $11,000. We'll throw in a set of Snap-on tools, the best out there, made in the USA. Nick Pinch up in Kenosha is a buddy of the G-Man. And so you can learn how to get this done. And we have made a commitment that if you matriculate with your airframe and power plant, you become an aircraft mechanic, you are guaranteed an interview with AAR. And we've already started hiring. We probably have 25 students, either graduates or who are doing an apprenticeship slash internship with the company. Good money. Nobody's making minimum wage out there. Sky's the limit with these jobs. And because we have five repair stations here in the United States, the Premier Aviation acquisition yesterday, there's opportunities in Canada and across the world. This is where the action is.
So a little bit of time left here, Greg. Let's tell people how they can apply for these jobs. What, should they just go to the website, aarcorp.com?
You know, we're pretty, as far as a talent acquisition, you know, somebody said to me, we did a job fair up at the hangar, and somebody said, you know, hey, G-Man, like, are you like the salesman of the jobs? I'm like, well, you know, as long as they keep paying me, sure, why not? So we're pretty fast, flat, and communicative. So a couple of ways you can get a hold of the company. You can clearly go to the career section of our website, which is aarcorp.com. Just pull down the menu. You can search by state and location, Rockford. We probably have 25 different jobs listed up there. You can also just pop a signal flare. I'm on LinkedIn as well as Twitter at 4GMan. And, of course, you can just call headquarters and me directly at 630-227-2074. And I'll get you going, no doubt about it, and either connect you to myself and or our senior MRO recruiter, Gus Taylor, who's the man with the plan, veteran, really gets it done for us.
Well, Greg, very nice meeting you. Best of luck to you and to AAR Corp and in your, using your phrase here, blue skies.
Absolutely. This is a no-fail mission. Become an aircraft mechanic or a pilot today.
All right, Greg Dellinger, Director of Talent Acquisition Strategy at AAR Corp. Again, aarcorp.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at AARCORP, AAR Corp.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 541 here on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. How would you like to turn more of your online visitors into customers? We've been reading a new book called E-Commerce Website Optimization, Why 95% of Your Website Visitors Don't Buy and What You Can Do About It. And we're happy to have with us one of the co-authors of the book this morning, Johan von Tonder, who's with us this morning. Good morning, Johan. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, I guess this is the holy grail question, isn't it? How do we successfully do this? What would be your first advice?
It's really not difficult. What it is a process. And it's work, it's hard work perhaps, but it's not difficult. Anyone can do this. Anyone who's built an e-commerce store and runs an e-commerce store can do this. And it's relatively inexpensive. Tools are widely available. And a lot of it's just pure common sense. I'll mention one or two examples to explain what I mean. Steve Blank, who's well known in the U.S., says, get out of the office, get out of the building and speak to your customers. When I was running an e-commerce store a couple of years ago, I was CEO, and people thought I was crazy because I would get in my car and do deliveries myself on the weekend. And they'd say, but as a CEO, that's not how you should be spending your time. And I would say to them, that's exactly how I should be spending my time, because by doing deliveries, I get to meet my customers. I get to hear their stories. I get to climb inside their minds. I get to understand them. And when you understand your customers, when you understand their needs, when you understand what made them buy from you as opposed to your competitors, because let's face it, we all have competition, then you can sell them more. And you can sell other people like them who aren't currently buying from you, who are making the decision and, making the decision to buy from a competitor.
Yeah, and so, go ahead.
No, I would say that's rule number one, and that's really simple stuff. And the entire book is full of really simple basics like that. And then, there's a process behind it. There's a process of doing this research and bringing it all together and finding the opportunities of where to improve your website in terms of driving conversion.
And it's interesting you mention that, because it's one of the things is that it focuses a lot on psychology. I mean, there's a lot of scientific stuff in here and a lot of, technical stuff, but it's really that psychology part of it that's the most important, I think, right?
It's absolutely crucial, because, and this is the mistake that a lot of people make, when they start doing this e-commerce in general, but also optimizing their sites. And optimization of e-commerce sites has become big business. You know, it's a massive industry. And, you know, most e-commerce people, I would imagine, in some way are involved in this or trying to do it. But this is where they get it wrong. They think about it in terms of numbers. So they look at analytics. You know, we all drown in data. In e-commerce, on the web, everything is measured. So we've got tons of data. We drown in it. But that's part of the problem, is we look at this data, we look at these numbers, we look at these graphs, and we forget what's behind it. What's behind it is the real people, customers, your customers, and also people who choose not to buy from you, the ones that you're actually concerned about, should be concerned about. And what you're doing when you're making changes to your website, when you're deploying interventions, you are changing or you are shaping or aiming to shape behavior. It all goes back to psychology. It all goes back to that decision that's made or not made. It drives that. So everything ties back to that. Absolutely, you've got to have that understanding.
The book is laid out really like a handbook. I know when I was reading through it and going through and getting ready for today, it reminded me sort of like a how-to textbook. Who are you focusing this on in, let's say, business? What part of the business? Anybody who's working on the website, or is this more for management?
This is a practitioner's book, so I would say it's it includes management, but it's more the people who are going to be doing the work. I think managers would be and site owners would be interested in reading it in order to understand what it is that needs to happen and also to understand the process and really how easy and inexpensive it is. But then the people who would get the most value from it would be the practitioners, the people who are going to roll up their sleeves and do the work, analysts, web analysts, conversion optimizers. So marketers in organizations.
So you almost lay out a game plan of sorts, don't you, in this book? I mean, it sort of is a step-by-step plan.
It's meant to be that. You know, we thought there are many books in the space, conversion rate optimization. And we've read all of them, and we were frustrated by the fact that, A, there was nothing aimed at e-commerce. A lot of it's quite generic, but nothing aimed specifically at e-commerce. And that was a gap. That's our specialism. We wanted to fill that. And the second thing was that exactly what you said now, there was nothing that's really that practical. A playbook, a guidebook, a how-to guide, step-by-step. This is what you do today. This is what you do the next day. And so it goes on. And this is what we aim to provide.
Give us a sense, Johan, about how costly it is to not do the right thing. I know at the beginning of an interview we talked about how people make mistakes and they do this or that. But are we talking about, are these billion-dollar mistakes potentially for companies?
Well, it depends on the size of your business, absolutely. I mean, we work with clients where indeed not doing this at all would be a billion-dollar mistake. In most cases, I would imagine, you know, you're talking about maybe $1 million, but perhaps in the order of a few hundred thousand dollars. And that comes from two sources. So the one is simply not making enough of the traffic that is already on your site. So people who are there potentially willing to buy, but there's something that's just not in place and they don't buy for whatever reason. There could be a range of reasons. And it's leaving that money on the table. But then it gets a step worse because most e-commerce businesses, I would imagine, in this day and age, would be spending money. They would be buying traffic into their sites. This is true for most e-commerce businesses. And what they do is they spend huge amounts of dollars to buy traffic onto their site, and that traffic doesn't convert to the extent that it could be converting. So not only are you leaving money on the table, you're actually losing money. You're not making your acquisition dollar stretch as far as it could be stretching.
Johan, good of you to be with us this morning, and thank you for the book and taking time out to be on The Opening Bell.
Thank you very much.
Johan von Tonder is the co-author of E-Commerce Website Optimization, Why 95% of Your Website Visitors Don't Buy and What You Can Do About It, published by Kogan Page.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 551 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Futures turning negative now for the Dow and the NASDAQ, off about 4 points on the Dow, flat on the S&P. Gold and silver are trading higher this morning. Oil is trading higher as well. up almost a full percent. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A little better news for livestock traders yesterday as futures gained on technical buying and feeder cattle hit a two-month high. Lean hogs also moved higher by as much as 2.5%. Not much in the way of fresh news, but apparently traders were more optimistic about higher cash prices for both cattle and hogs. One trader said, "I think the market, particularly cattle market, is trying to bottom." The Chicago Mercantile Exchange October feeder cattle contract gained 85 cents yesterday to close at $152.80 a hundredweight, highest level since July 20th. Turning on to the grain trade yesterday as we're approaching harvest seriously now, corn futures fell nearly 1% on chart-based selling as the harvest begins to get closer. Soybeans followed the weak trend, declining in the absence of any fresh supportive news. Wheat closed mixed with front month December, just fractionally lower. Today, the day number two of the Ohio Farm Science Review in London, Ohio, just west of Columbus. That show continues through tomorrow. And combines will begin to roll seriously with the continued dry weather forecast that we have, but it'll pick up the pace rather quickly. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, September 20th. The existing home sales for August will be released today by the folks who do those reports. The numbers coming up mid-morning for, again, existing home sales. Also, it is the last day of the Federal Open Market Committee. They will have a news conference, the chair, Janet Yellen, this afternoon. We do not expect a change in interest rates. They will be talking about monetary policy. We also may find out whether or not Janet Yellen is going to seek a second term as the chair of the Federal Reserve. The U.N. General Assembly continues in New York. Rosh Hashanah begins, the Jewish New Year begins this evening, ending Friday evening. As on the holiday calendar today. Also today, there's going to be a roundtable on diabetes and fractures. New research is out on that. Also, a conference with the Attorney General Jeff Sessions in San Diego, where he'll announce drug seizures, an historic number of drug seizures for the fiscal year 2017. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, September 20th.